volcanic swampland dinosaur ground. Beautiful waterfall, two waterfalls in east to west, although it's got a little curvature, but waterfalls in southwest. And then you've got the Capitol Reef.
I believe that what the episode we've lost is a maritime civilization which sailed the whole world. That's why we have the maps. And that's why we have very few traces. I think they lived on coastlines, which were the best lands to live on. The sea was a major resource for them. You know, they stayed out of the interior. You know, you had undoubtedly Stone Age hunter-gatherers coexisting on the same planet with, more advanced kind of... But what I always point out is that's not so strange, because we have that today. We're in the heart of the Amazon, and find people who don't know anything about us at all.
Your thoughts on Solomon as well, because it has, this cave has the DNA strands, or what you might...
Please show me, show me.
Yeah,
show
let's,
me.
We need to walk out.
So it's even like touching, breathing on it is, and then, so...
You can just absolutely count on it. The universal themes just come up again and again. Ladders, zigzags, figures.
You said there's a spiral up here?
Well,
like
DNA.
This. Here we go,
Exactly the same device on rock faces in South Africa. Just identical to this.
You think they had cell phones or what?
No, I think they had...
They had pocket communication. They had decoder rings.
They had telepathy.
They had decoder rings, yeah.
No, because they're going to the same parallel worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, coming back with the same images. It's observation. That's what it is. It's a universal observation. You can just absolutely count on it. You will find it wherever there is.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, right there, this pattern of diamonds or double helix, there's these zigzag lines and the ladders. There's three of the absolute most frequent motifs in the European caves and in South African rock shelters as well. And here it is in America. And it's plain. I mean, it's an art of altered states of consciousness, and this is what you see as you enter those realms.
And who's this little guy down here? The more little zigzag, the darker.
Here,
More of the same.
More of the zigzags. I mean, the technical term for these is entoptic phenomena. Entoptic phenomena. That's the technical term given to these. Wherever you find rock and cave art, you find figures, but you also find patterns, and those can be grids, zigzags, dots,
and what
flows
are they
of dots.
I mean, what are they representing?
What they represent is what almost everybody who enters a deeply altered state of consciousness sees as they begin. It's usually typically in the earlier part of the journey. These scintillating patterns and zigzag lines and starbursts and dots, clouds of dots. It's very, very, very
so it's not thing. It's not any sort of calendar.
No,
or...
definitely not.
Okay.
I think the most convincing explanation for just about all the rock art in the world is it's art of shamanism, and the shamans were in deeply altered states of consciousness. Not when they painted it, they would typically use a plant hallucinogen, enter a deeply altered state of consciousness, have the vision, have the journey, and then return to this realm, to this state of consciousness, and depict what they saw on the walls. So this is the mystery, because people from all different cultures and different parts of the world, not in contact with one another, separated by thousands of years, they're all showing the same imagery. It's universal, and it's not enough to say that, as some scientists try to do, to say that, this is just your brain on drugs. Not at all.
No.
This is a window through into other worlds, and we are faithfully visiting those worlds and returning and recording what we saw. That's what's happening.
Most of the art around here is at Anasazi, but this is one of the few caves that actually has 5,000 plus year old art in it.
Right.
This guy, I think maybe there used to be a head on this,
like
an ascending figure.
See how it's chipping away there?
Yeah, and
so eventually one day would maybe the whole surface just...
Unfortunately it will, and it may be the case that, there was a whole lot more art around here in the past, which had just been lost.
Kind of crusted away.
You know what I find interesting with this one too is that there is no Anasazi later, newer in these caves. It's like they knew that
it was a sacred place. They left it alone.
They didn't. They left it alone.
This particular device, you can see the identical thing in Lascaux Cave in France. Absolutely
really?
Identical.
Grandpa. But yet, there's no
no exchange.
No
contact.
Wow.
And so it's only can only be explained that they were seeing the same things and recording them. In the case of Lascaux, you might find a horse behind it with the grid, superimposed in front of it.
There's some human figurines that have their arms out with these lines coming down with little balls on them. That somebody, I think it was Brett, explained to me that someone had explained to him that was some sort of a calendar.
I know. I've heard all these theories. I'm just convinced that it's largely not that. I'm not denying that they had calendars and that they observed the heavens and the stars very, very closely. But this universal form of expression. The simplest way to explain it is that these artists were in a deeply visionary state, and you can put modern volunteers in labs and give them peyote or give them
DMT,
and they will come back with those visions, and they will, if you ask them to draw what they saw, it looks like this. Mm. With the figures, the beings, the entities that you meet with glowing penumbra of light surrounding them. Perhaps that's what this flow from the arms is, a kind of aura.
Is the next
of light.
Level kind of.
Which is a beautiful thing for us because we get a ticket through psychedelics to go back.
To that time and place.
To that time and place.
Exactly.
I know, it's time travel, basically.
Yeah. That's absolutely what it is.
Yeah.
And so it allows us a community of experience with these ancient people from thousands of years ago. And that's a rare gift.
I think it's time to dose up.
Yeah. This is really amazing because this could be
in the Drakensberg,
Cederberg
in South Africa.
The environment is also very similar.
Very similar environment. Yeah.
Very exciting.
Fantastic. This is really exciting.
Yeah. Wow. Truth in rock.
So what do you think, what plants were they getting there?
We were just discussing that. Datura, presumably. That's
You alluded the last night. You said these people, however many years you're going back, were as smart as we were. Which I, with the, they're human. I'm sure they were very bright and resourceful. But there's so much evidence.
Up till now, the earliest, fully anatomically modern skeletal remains date back 196,000 years. And as far as they can tell. The brain was the same then.
Yeah, so they must have,
However, that's the mystery, and I will go into this tonight. The behavior of those fully anatomically modern humans 196,000 years ago was no different from the behavior of much, much less anatomically modern humans a million years before.
We have some of them in New York.
Wow.
Yeah. It's only when this stuff starts, round about 35,000 to 40,000 years ago, that you get this amazing sort of surge forward of humanity. And then you have to jump to the conclusion that the visionary experiences that they had were what made them fully human. That this is and therefore that by denying ourselves the right to visionary experiences, which is what our culture seeks to do, we are actually cutting ourselves off from an essential element of our humanity. And therefore no wonder our society is so screwed up. Because we have actually cut out the spirit from the world. I think it's really fundamental to human creativity, and I think this encounter with psychedelics shook our ancestors out of a very deep rut, and that's what I see. And I'll say this tonight, that we're in a society now which is also locked in a rut, and we're totally dependent on the technological fix, and we think that's the only way to do things, and we're very good at it.
Just like
400,000 years ago, they were very good at chipping out a certain kind of stone axe, which they kept on chipping out for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. They never changed it. We also like that.
I heard
an interesting statistic. There was a some sort of a polling that estimated there were about 25,000 people in the United States who, as of 6 to 8 months ago, had tried DMT.
Right.
And that the number right now is closer to 500,000.
Yeah, it's catching. It's spreading very, very widely.
To be a million by within the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Interesting, with this cultural shift in this psycho demographic of 2 million conscious consumers.
Yeah.
That's a major tool.
I think it's really important. I mean, what happened in the it almost started in the 60s, and it's not an accident that the 60s were a phase of incredible creativity. Look at the music. Look at the computers that also came out of the 60s, and all of this absolutely connected to psychedelics. And then, you know, Big Brother steps in and just smashes us all down, fills us with fear and terror, and convinces us with all sorts of lies and propaganda about how dangerous this stuff is supposed to be. And then we have 40 years of terror and fear and paranoia. And what's happening now is people are beginning to cast that aside and work with the visionary plants again. As a scientist, as a scientific experiment, go to the Amazon, drink ayahuasca 10 times. Let's see if you still feel the same way. Let's see what happens.